The first Sunday of 2018, and I think the song that we just sang is a good way to bring this new year in. Give me the Bible. You know, there's so many different theories and thoughts and when it comes to spiritual matters, but we need to recognize that the Bible is the final answer and the final authority for all of things spiritual, all things concerning life. I'd like to think about some of those things this morning. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it will flow the springs of life." Watch over your heart. Have you ever thought of yourself as watching over your heart? So many times, I think people just kind of let their heart lead them. Whatever feels right to them, that's what they do. But God is telling us here we have a responsibility to our heart, to watch over our heart and recognize that from our heart indeed flow the springs of life. Romans 8 and verses 5 and 6, very similar to that, it says, "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And so, if I'm watching over my heart, what is my heart set upon? What am I setting my heart upon? Is it those things that are carnal, or is it those things that are of the Spirit? And if I set my heart on the things of the Spirit, then we need to recognize that I indeed need to go to He who is Spirit and He who created us as Spirit and listen to His Word for guidance. In Mark 4 and verse 24, it's no wonder then that Jesus said to them, "Take heed what you hear. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given." Take heed to what you hear. You see, we use what we hear, and we will be judged by what we hear and use. If you take heed to your heart, then you need to take heed to what you're hearing, because what goes into your heart is going to come out in the practice of your life. If we hear and believe and practice error, we will practice sin, because, as 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, sin is a transgression of the law. But if we hear, believe, and practice truth, more will be given. That is, we will reap, and we will be allowed what we allowed to be sown in our heart. It won't be a matter of just hearing. It won't just be a matter of academics. It won't be a matter of theory. It becomes a matter of practice and a matter of a display of the things that God has taught us to do from His Word. And so we're going to take this phrase of Jesus that we find here in Mark 4 and verse 24. As it's translated in the New King James Version, "Take heed what you hear." Other translations will say, "Be careful what you hear." Indeed, we do need to be careful to what we hear. And we need to take heed to what we hear. But as we're careful about what we're hearing, we can be assured that we can do the things that we hear and that they are the Word of God. This principle goes all the way back to God giving His Word to mankind, and especially giving it to the children of Israel, who were a type of the church that you and I are parts of today. Notice in Deuteronomy 13 and the first 18 verses, it says, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul." Notice there, the Lord God is testing you to know whether you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So here's a dreamer of dreams. Here's a guy that comes up with an idea. It's not according to what the Word of God has said. In fact, it's contrary to what the Word of God says. And he says, come and follow me. And he performs a sign or a wonder. And you wonder at it. And you say, well, if this guy can perform signs and wonders, then certainly this dream that he has, this great fantasy that he has, must be something we can go after. Now, it's contrary to what the Word of God says. But we have this sign, we have this wonder. You know, you have people today who profess to be able to perform miracles, or that miracles have been performed on them, and they'll make all of these claims, and a lot of people stand in awe of them, but what they teach is not the Word of God. You see, we have something greater than signs and wonders today. What we should be in awe of is the Word of God. This miracle, this sign, this wonder, that God has revealed it to us and God has preserved it for us. And we can be led by it. He goes on to say, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and hold fast. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. Here's the dearest people on earth to you. And they come and say to you, let us serve other gods in this context. Today, one could say, let us serve God a different way. Let us go after God in a way that is not revealed in the Bible. Let us depend upon what the Bible doesn't say. We know what it says, but it doesn't say not to do other things. People can be led away from God by going after other ideas and other theories. We know what God teaches us to do. We can have confidence in that teaching and abide in it. But what if your daughter, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, whoever it might be, your closest friend, don't listen to them. You shall not consent to him. You will not listen to him, nor shall you pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. Not only should you not go after what he's teaching, but you should also expose him to others. Now, is that the first step? No, certainly the first step is that we reprove such a one. And we teach them in the way. But what if they're just determined to proceed in this false doctrine? He says, expose them. But you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. So all Israel shall hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness as this among you. course, this is the law of Moses. We're not under the law of Moses anymore. We don't put to death false teachers, but we are still to expose them. We are to put them away from us. They're not to have an influence among us. If you hear someone in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, corrupt men have gone out from among you, and enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently. And if it is indeed true, and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it, all that is in it, and its livestock, with the edge of the sword. And you shall gather all its plunder into the middle of the street, and completely burn with fire the city and all of its plunder. For the Lord your God, it shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. Think God is serious about us keeping His word just as He's delivered it to us? Yes. And He's giving us the example of the children of Israel here in the law as He delivered it to them. So none of the accursed things shall remain in your land, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of His anger and show you mercy, have compassion on you and multiply you, just as He swore your fathers. Because you have listened to the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments, which I commanded you today, to do what was right in His eyes, in the eyes of the Lord your God. Certainly, blessings will be multiplied upon those who love God and keep His commandments. So we are to hear and keep the commandments of God, just as we've noticed here in Deuteronomy chapter 13. And we can also notice Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all of His statutes and His commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. So from the very beginning of God giving His law to the children of Israel, He says, keep this word, revere the Lord, keep His statutes and His commandments. You and your son and your grandson, and he could keep going, couldn't he? For every generation, don't wander away from this word that I have given you. We are not to add to or remove what God has given to us. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I commanded you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. If you add to what God has said, He says, then you're not keeping my commandments. Well, we're keeping your commandments. We just added something to it. No, you add something to it, you're not keeping my commandments. Don't take something away from my commandments. You won't be keeping my commandments. Oh, yes, we're keeping your commandments. We just took one or two things away. No, you take one or two things away, you're not keeping my commandments anymore. That's what He's saying here. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 6, therefore be very, very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. It takes courage, doesn't it? To do the will of God. When other people want you to come and follow them and do what they want you to do and what feels right to them and what seems right to them, it takes courage to stand up and say, no, that's not what God teaches us to do. Proverbs 30 and verse 6, do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Well, that's the Old Testament, people say. What about the New Testament? Same principle. 2 John verses 9 through 11, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. You see, it's not just another doctrine. It's an evil doctrine. And the practice of that evil doctrine is the practice of evil deeds, whereas the practice of the doctrine of Christ is the practice of righteousness. Revelation 22 and verses 18 and 19, John says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. Some people say, well, that's just talking about the book of Revelation. Well, it is talking about the book of Revelation, but haven't we seen here today that this is a principle that is applied to the Word of God? Wherever you find it in this book, the book of the Bible, it's a principle that we saw in Deuteronomy and Joshua and Proverbs and throughout all of that. It's a principle that we see in the New Testament. We just noticed 2 John verse 9, there's other New Testament passages we could point to as well. That do we think that we can take away from the doctrine of Christ and still have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Don't fool yourself. Do you think that you could add to the doctrine of Christ and still find your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Don't fool yourself. That's never been the case. And God doesn't give any assurance that it ever will be the case. If you're hoping for that, you're hoping against the true reason of hope that's given to us in His Word. Judgment awaits those who fail to revere these absolute boundaries. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, the Lord said, "Inasmuch as this people draw near to me with their mouths and they honor me with their lips, but they have removed their heart far from me." What was the first thing that we noticed this morning? Keep your heart. Watch over your heart. Be careful what you're putting into your heart. They have removed their heart from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men. Their concept of God and how to serve God is developed by the traditions of men rather than the truth of God's Word. Do they believe in God? Yes, they believe in God. Do they know the true God? No, because they don't know His Word. They just know the doctrines of men. That's what Isaiah foretold of, and that's what Jesus said had actually come about in His days. In Matthew 15 and verses 7 through 9, he says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Then Jesus goes on to explain, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." If it was true in the first century, it's certainly true in the 21st century. All we have to do is go out into the community of Bowling Green or any community and drive along and see all of the different names of the church buildings that represent the different practices that are taught therein. All these different churches represent a division that has come about by teaching as doctrines the commandments of men, rather than appreciating and abiding in and revering the Word of God and the doctrine of Christ. And thereby, if everybody did that, we would all be teaching the same thing, wouldn't we? There wouldn't be any divisions from each other or from God. We are not to hear those who teach false doctrines. In Malachi chapter 2, in the first 8 verses, it says, "Now, O priest, this commandment is for you." Who's he teaching? Who's he talking to? The priest. What's their responsibility? Teach the people the Word of God. "Priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. The priests were saying, bless you people. We're at peace with God. And God is saying, I'm cursing your blessings. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces and refuse of your solemn feast, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before me and my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity. He turned many away from iniquity. And he's saying, you priests aren't doing that. You don't have the same reverence for my word that he did. He turned people away from sin. You're leading people into sin, is what the prophet is saying here. And the result is they're going to be taken away. What happened? They were taken away. They were taken away into Assyrian and into Babylonian captivity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Now, if they did it under the Mosaic law, why are people surprised when we say people have done it with the doctrine of Christ? People are saying, oh, well, it doesn't matter what you teach and what you practice. It just so long as you love God. How is that working in the days of Malachi? How did God feel about that in the days of Malachi? Didn't go over too good, did it? It doesn't go over today either. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, he says, there were false prophets among the people, like in the days of Malachi. Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. This adding to and taking away, is it constructive? No, it's destructive. Even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Isn't that what you find today? Those who practice false doctrines today, do they support you in your teaching of the Bible just as it is? Do they support you and say, yeah, that's the way you ought to live. That's the way it ought to be. What you're teaching and what you're practicing by the Word of God, that's what the Word of God says. That's the way it should be. We just do it a little bit different, but we totally support you in what you're teaching. Is that what you hear today? Nope. Just bring up the subject of baptism. There isn't a plainer subject in the Bible than the subject of the necessity of baptism for the remission of sins. And yet there are so many false doctrines that contradict this plain truth of God's revelation. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Just as God warned in the days of Malachi that you're going to be taken away, God is warning here. You follow a false doctrine, You're going to be taken away. The day of destruction is coming. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, who inwardly are ravenous wolves." Yeah, they're friendly and they wouldn't hurt anyone, they wouldn't harm anyone, and everybody's their friend. Can't help but like them. But they're not teaching the truth. And they're not going to lead you in the path of righteousness. Matthew 24 and verse 24, "False Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." So just as it was warned in the days of Moses, that if your close friend or a family member performs signs and wonders, and, well, surely they must be teaching the truth because they've done this, don't go after them. You're being tested. You know what the Word of God says. It's plain. Don't go after them. Trust in the Word of God, not in somebody's sign or wonder. 2 Timothy 4, in the first four verses, the evangelist Timothy was charged by the apostle Paul, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready, in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and will be turned aside to fables." You know what a fable is, don't you? A fable is just a figment of somebody's imagination. Make up a story about it. It's not the truth. But people will be turned aside to fables of men, the dreams of men, rather than the revelation of God's Word of truth. We are to hear God's written Word over man's word and ideas. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37 says, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of God." There's the bottom line. Don't put your trust in someone who says, "Well, look at what signs I'm doing. Look at what wonders I'm doing. Look at how friendly I am. Look at how loving we are." I see what you're saying. I see what the Word of God says about... I see what Matthew 16:16 says. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." I just don't think that we need to press that upon people in the 21st century. Or any other subject. I see what it says, but I just don't think that that applies today. And they might try to gin that up as well as they can with all kinds of felonious type of thinking. And it might sound good. But what's the bottom line? Did people do signs and wonders in the first century? Shake your head this way. Yeah, the apostles did. People were given those spiritual gifts to confirm that the word that they were speaking was true. Were there people who performed trickeries and then said that that was the same thing? Yeah, that Simon the sorcerer was one. Remember, Acts chapter 8? He performed great wonders among the people, and they all thought that he had the power of God because he deceived the people with his signs and his wonders, right? There would be those in the church who would come up with false doctrines and would try to lead people away after their false doctrines by performing a sign or a wonder. They claim to be prophets. They claim to have the gift of prophecy from God. "God told me to tell you that you must be circumcised in order to be saved? What's the bottom line? If you don't have this passage marked in your Bible and memorized in your brain, you need to commit it to memory. Not just what it says, but where it says it. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. Anyone who thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that what? The things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What trumps the other? The written word trumps a man's claim that God told me to tell you. The written word trumps a sign or a wonder. The written word is the final authority as to what truth is. And we can all read it. We can all understand it. And we can all apply it the same way. In Galatians 1 and verses 6 through 9, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to what? To a different gospel. Oh yeah, there's the gospel of Christ, but here's a different gospel, which is not another. There's no such thing as a different gospel or another gospel or an alternative gospel. We got one whole religion that's built upon the fact of this false premise of we have the gospel for the Americas, the Mormons. That's what they say. You know, we had the gospel back there in Jerusalem and all that, but this is the gospel for the Americas. Oh, okay, well, let's listen to what that's all about. No, there's no such thing as another gospel. There are some who trouble you and pervert. How do they pervert the gospel of Christ? By adding to and taking away. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Somebody teaches something different than what you find in the pages of the Bible? The confirmed written truth of God? Let that one be accursed. Expose them. Turn away from them. Don't have anything to do with them. We are to hear God's written word and let Him and His truth dwell in us. 2 John verse 2 says, the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. The truth abides in us. What does that mean? It lives in us. Don't let the truth just be found here between the covers of this book. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Practice it. Let it live in you and will be with you forever, where God is truth in heaven. You'll be abiding with Him in His presence. In John 14 and verse 23, Jesus said it this way, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. If any man loves me, he will keep my word. If you love me, keep my commandments. He'll say in the very next chapter, chapter 15, verse 14. No, it's this chapter, chapter 14, verse 15. He's just going on to explain here. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my word. My Father will love you, and He and I will abide in you, will live in you. We'll take up our residency in you. How can you be like God? Keep His word. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Keep your heart with all diligence. Be careful what you're hearing. Make sure, confirm that it is the word of God. And when you know the word of God, you know His will, then know that He dwells in you and you dwell in him. Be careful what you hear. Are you hearing the Word of God? Are you being careful with your heart? What are you allowing in? What are you thinking about? Are you just rejecting what this Word says? You think you know more than what God knows? Maybe you ought to investigate it a little bit better. But if you believe in God, you believe this Bible is His Word, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you will die in your sins. Now, He wasn't just talking about acknowledging that He is the Son of God and the Savior of mankind. The demons believe that. He was talking about believing it comprehensively, believing it to the point that I believe it, I trust it, and I'm going to obey it. And except you believe comprehensively, you will die in your sins. That's how important these words are to you and to me. Luke 13 and verses 3 and 5, he says, except you repent, you will perish. Except you turn from your life and your sin, turn away from it, and come to me, and walk in the paths of righteousness, you will perish. But he said, whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father who is in heaven. He wasn't just talking about a one-time profession, but a lifelong profession. That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God by what you hear and what you do in your life. And as we've noticed a couple times today, Mark 16 and 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you obeyed Christ in baptism? If not, why not? You believe He's the Son of God. You don't want to sin anymore. You want to walk in the path of righteousness. You'd confess that your belief in Him before anyone, then why not be baptized for the remission of your sins today? Right now, everything's ready. And if you're ready, come into Him. Come into His family, come into the body of the saved, and live for Him from this day forward. And Jesus said to those who believed on Him, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you are my true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Make you free from your sin, make you free from yourself, make you free from the world, make you free from dreading the day of judgment to embracing that great day and looking forward to Him saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys that I prepared for you. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, would you please do it today while you have this opportunity? And if you're here today as a child of God, and you know you're not in favor with God, let's make things right with Him today. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we stand and sing this song.